Hi, this is your host, Lynn Suzek. I'm back here again. We're going to do another show with Timothy Berry from Global Awakening. And God has led me to their ministry as one of many that are experiencing miraculous signs and wonders. And they're using the signs and wonders as a way to preach the gospel, the way that the disciples did, the way that they were taught. And that's what we believe God's having us do today. Timothy, you went into a little bit of information last time we spoke, and it was about how God wants us well, and I want you to elaborate on that. One of the problems that we face here is people believing, which I used to believe for years. I think that's what's held me back. I'm in a wheelchair myself, paralyzed, and for 23 years, and we're trying to figure out how to get to trigger my healing. We've been pursuing that. So one of the things that gets in the way is that people believe, well, God can heal. He does heal sometimes, but it's a random thing. It's all, like sometimes he wants you healed and sometimes he doesn't. What do you say about that?
Yes, well, that's something that I believed as well at one time was like, I guess God could heal. He's all sovereign and he's all powerful. So yes, I believe that he has the power to do it. But how come he doesn't do it today? One of those things in our Western mindset is because we do have the medical field.
That's right.
So a lot of people immediately, as soon as they get sick, they go to the doctor instead of actually praying to God for their healing. But a lot of people don't have the expectation that God will do it instantaneously.
Or that he
And
wants to. Or
exactly. And
what if
so.
it's his will for me to be sick? I mean, what do you say to that?
So the greatest thing that I encourage people is look at the life of Jesus. As Bill Johnson says, Jesus is perfect theology. And so if we're supposed to resemble his nature and his character and love and of peace and of joy in our walk with God in the world, in the same way we need to demonstrate the type of power that he demonstrated in his ministry.
Amen.
In Matthew 10, it says to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand in verse 7. And in verse 8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. Freely you have received, now freely give. So as we preach the gospel of the kingdom, it's not only just for the salvation of people's souls, but also for the healing of their bodies and the restoration of their heart, soul, and mind. And so when the Bible says in the New Testament that it's God's will for people to be saved, that word saved in the Greek is the word sozo. And so when we think that God wants to save people, we think it's for eternal life, which is true. Part of the word sozo means eternal life, but it's not the fullness of what that word means. The word sozo means actually to be healed, to be delivered, to be restored, and have eternal life.
Amen.
And so when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, we usually teach them that they get their ticket to heaven, and then they have to suffer in this world until Jesus comes back. But the actual reality is that when they accept Christ into their life, they not only receive eternal life, they're supposed to be healed, delivered, and restored of everything that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy in their life.
Amen, brother.
And so that's the fullness of the gospel, but we have somehow limited and downgraded the gospel to just a ticket to heaven. And so in that, one of the greatest things is to understand what Christ did on the cross. And so in the last show, I referred back to the atonement, which is what Christ did on the cross and what he paid for. So in Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, it talks about, I'm just going to read it real quick in verse 4. This is with the NAS. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. So in verse 4 and 5, 4 talks about griefs and sorrows, but the problem is that that's a mistranslation of those two words. The two words in the Hebrew is, I don't know how to pronounce these, but it's choli or choli, C-H-O-L-I, and makob, M-A-K-O-B. And they actually should be translated sicknesses and pains.
Wow.
So instead of griefs and sorrows, it should say, surely our sicknesses he himself bore and our pains he carried. So that's why in verse 5 when it says, by his scourging or by his stripes, we are healed. So in this verse, in the same measure that Christ paid for our salvation, for our souls to be eternal, have eternal life with him, in the same measure he took away our sicknesses and disease up with his stripes. And so in another verse is Psalms 103 verses 2 and 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, which is your sins, who heals all your diseases," which is a present tense verse. And so when we look in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, it says that Jesus went about casting out spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses."
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the New Testament, it's referring back to Isaiah 53 to say that the reason why Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, casting out demons, was to say, "This is what I'm doing for the world. I came to give life to this world. I came to save people, and this is what I'm doing throughout the world." And Acts 10:38 attributes sickness and disease to the power of the devil.
Amen.
And Acts 10:38 says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So right there in the scriptures, it attributes sickness and disease to the power of the devil, and the power of God is to reverse what the enemy has done.
That's
effects from the fall of man.
Amen.
So that's just a real quick, brief teaching. I would encourage people to pick up the book called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. That is the best book I've read on about the atonement of the healing. It also talks about a lot of people think that sickness in their body is their thorn in their flesh,
right,
that Paul talks about, which is absolutely a misunderstanding of what that means. It actually, a thorn in the flesh is a messenger of Satan. It has nothing to do with sickness and disease.
I agree. We've been talking about that for months, and God's been leading us on this pathway, and I just thank God that you're, you know, able to confirm that with all this. Now, me being in the position I'm in, I believe it's just going to be a miracle. It's going to be a miraculous thing, mm-hmm, that's going to lead us into huge ministry. But it's because, and you've seen blind eyes open and deaf ears open.
Yes, ma'am.
But when what kind of people have you seen that's kind of like me? I've been 23 years in a wheelchair, paralyzed, spinal, mm-hmm, cord injury. The medical field says it's impossible. It's like, well, yeah, you've seen that happen, but what about this? What,
yeah,
kind of things have you seen that compare with what I have?
Well, probably the greatest miracle I've ever seen was a young boy named David in Brazil, my first week ever experiencing healings and miracles. He was born 4 months premature. At this time that he was given to me, he was 6 years of age. He had never walked in his life. He had never heard, and he had never talked.
Wow.
And so I'm thinking, well, what kind of prayer am I going to pray that actually is going to work? You know, I'm just thinking that in my mind. It's not like I had a whole bunch of faith or anything. But I started realizing, well, wait, if the Bible says in Ephesians that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then where I'm seated, this stuff can't exist, this sickness, this disease, because if in heaven is a perfect reality and we're supposed to experience it today and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then this stuff has to go.
That's right.
And so I just held him for like 10 seconds. And I didn't pray a thing. I just said, "Jesus, if this scripture verse is real, Ephesians 2:6, if I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ, then this stuff has to go." And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Put him on his feet." Well, he can't walk, so I'm either going to look like an idiot or this, actually I'm hearing God. So I put him on his feet, and he begins to run around the stage that in Brazil. And I'm shocked. I'm like, I look at the mother. I'm like, "I thought you told me he can't walk." And she's just shaking her head, "No, like he can't walk." He's running. And so this kid has got the biggest smile on his face. His ears open up that night, and he begins to speak for the very first time. And so this past fall and September and October, we were in Brazil again. I was praying with a young man who has a condition called lupus, which is a disease that has no cure. It's not retractable. So it's an impossible situation in the medical community for it to be cured of. Mm-hmm. And so he was in a wheelchair for about 4 months, hasn't been able to walk. And he had just gotten out of a coma. He was in a coma for 2 months. And we just began to pray. And the power of God came on him. And he begins to feel all this energy go in and throughout his body, like it was strengthening his muscles, because his muscles already began to atrophy, which means because they haven't been used in a while, they begin to lose the substance of the muscle. And then all of a sudden I asked him, "Would you feel like trying to walk?" And he goes, "Sure." And so we help him get up, and he begins to walk. And he just begins to weep and to cry as he begins to share with us that the doctors told him he would never, ever walk again.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking. And we prayed for him for the next 2 nights, and he just got getting more strength and more strength and more strength in his body. We've seen other paraplegics completely healed and other quadriplegics as well, where people have had spinal cord injuries through accidents or actually been shot and severed the spine, and they get see a complete miracle. I've seen metal disappear out of people's bodies, out of their backs. I've seen scoliosis, their spine just straighten right instantaneously as we're praying. Just you hear the cracking, you know, as the spine just does that. Seeing deaf ears, blind eyes, and all to the glory of God. I'm so thankful just in just less than 3 years I've been able to experience all these type of things and just to know that God is real. He loves every single person in this world, and it's a part of what he did on the cross to bring healing to people. And so nothing, and the scriptures say nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
So it's a And actually, the Christian life is not supposed to be possible. It's supposed to be impossible. What we believe in is crazy, that Jesus, one man, paid for all the sins of the world so that we might have eternal life. So the Christian life is not supposed to be something that can actually be possible. It's supposed to be impossible, and that's what makes it so good is because God does the work.
Amen. And, Timothy, we just want to promote that conference that you have coming up. Did you have a conference that you wanted to talk about or how people can learn more about healing? If you're saved and, well, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. And you we can you can find that out anytime.
Yes.
You know, we can pray for salvation first. And then after that, you can go on and do signs and wonders, but you got to kind of learn how, right?
Yeah. So the best thing is to check out our website, www.globalawakening.com. That's where we have a lot of our conferences at. We have one coming up in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, called the Voice of the Prophets. It doesn't necessarily have to revolve around healing, but it's one of our major conferences that we do every year. But we hold different healing conferences and healing schools to train and equip the body of Christ and knowing how to heal. So if someone's listening and they're like, hey, I want to do that, the best thing to do is to go to one of these schools or to go to on a trip with us internationally. We're going to Mozambique in June, where Heidi Baker is at. We're going to Colombia right before that in May. We're going back to Brazil in September and October and December of this year. The best thing is just to put yourself in a position for God to move through you. We have a bookstore that has some of the best books and teachings on healing that I've ever seen. And so my encouragement to you is if you need healing in your body, to believe that God wants to heal you, he's going to heal you. And if you want to operate in this type of stuff, that God wants to use you to bring healing to people's bodies.
Amen. Well, we're just excited to have you help us promote this. And we know that God is leading us and guiding us into healing and to promote that so that he can be glorified in full. And we have a whole group of teenagers that we're teaching to do this as well. So thank you, Timothy. We'll be talking to you some more. And I'm going to just close this program. Thanks for joining us today. Here and listen to this again on hisability.com. Thanks, and
Thank
we'll
you.
See
it's
you
an
next
honor.
Week.
Thank you.
Okay.